Now for your dose of mustard gas in the culture war, this is Radio Vitriol. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Radio Vitriol. It is Wednesday, hump day. I hope today is treating you well. So I wasn't even planning on talking about this anymore, but just the way things are shaking out, I'm glad that it's still in the news and people are still talking about it. So I figured I'd address it. Yesterday, I made some comment about wondering where the feminists are in this whole Molly Tibbetts matter. Well, today the feminists showed up. And it is every bit as glorious as you would expect. Now, there are two different lines that they are taking. The first one that I saw was this is not an immigration argument. This is a violence against women matter. Now, this is just a classic intersectional redirect. Because these people know, and they're good at this stuff, and they know that when you want to make a difference, you don't attack institutions, you attack individuals. So they're trying to reverse engineer that. So people go from attacking this individual case to attacking some nebulous concept that will never be solved. And you know, the best thing to do in a case like this is to agree with them. Except amplify it. Say, yes, this is a violence against women issue. And the violence against Molly Tibbetts would not have happened had Christian Rivera been in his home country. Had this person not been in the country illegally, violence would likely not have been visited upon this young woman. Hell, had a Republican politician's brother not hired this guy to pick corn or whatever the fuck he was doing, this girl would still be alive. Learn your Alinsky tactics, know them, and recognize when people are using them or when people are trying to reverse them on you. However, the second take, and this one is special, this one comes from none other than Sally Cohn. And the great thing about Sally Cohn is that she is always dim-witted enough to chart out the actual Democrat Party position. And she does it in a completely unvarnished way. And this is what Sally Cohn had to say on Twitter. I'm always tempted when Sally Cohn writes something to do it in my Sally Cohn voice. But I just to keep it clear, I won't. Sally Cohn writes, on Fox News website, as of 9:02 p.m. tonight, I guess this was last night, Manafort conviction is number two story. Cohen plea is number three story. Number one story is about undocumented immigrant who is suspect for murder of a white girl. Way to stay predictable, Fox. Well, Sally, we here thank you for being predictable as well. You are the dumbest person on the planet, and you can always be counted on to give us a nice, good peek behind the curtain. And I know Pocahontas gave some other idiotic statement. She's being savaged right now, so I'm not even going to bother with that. But remember what I was talking about yesterday about how you can see the narrative as it's being written? Right now, they are either going to try to distract on this issue by making it about violence against women, in the hopes that the issue just goes away. Or they're going to call you a racist for even bringing the issue up. If I had to bet on it, I would say that the second option is probably the one that they're going to run with. And I'm still seeing some people on the alt-retard talking about how this isn't worth talking about because this girl was some kind of leftist and her parents are hippies. Who the fuck cares? This isn't really about her or them. This is about everyone else. This is about how you want the world to be and what you want to leave behind. So quit being distracted by your own weird issues and put on your game face and stick with this thing. Well, next story, speaking of immigration, this is from the Washington Post. U.S. deports 95-year-old ex-Nazi guard to Germany. A 95-year-old former Nazi concentration camp who lived quietly in New York City for decades was carried out of his home on a stretcher by federal agents and flown to Germany early Tuesday in what could prove to be the last U.S. deportation of a World War II era crime suspect, or war crime suspect. And you're going to have to pardon my pronunciation here. I think it's Yakov Polish's expulsion at President Donald Trump's urging came 25 years after investigators first accused Polish of lying about his wartime past to get into the U.S. But it was largely symbolic because officials in Germany have repeatedly said there is insufficient evidence to prosecute him. Trump made it very clear he wanted Polish out of the country, and a new German government that took office in March brought new energy to expediting the matter, U.S. Ambassador Richard Grenell said. He's gone. He's back in Germany, Trump said at a campaign rally in West Virginia Tuesday night as he celebrated his role in the deportation. Now, it's a funny thing about this guy. I know Trump is using this as some kind of photo op. And truthfully, I don't know whether the guy was a war criminal or not. And I don't think that anybody is entirely sure. It looks like the Germans are not entirely convinced. But what I know about this case is that they first started questioning this guy in 1993. In 2004, they told him he had to go. He appealed, and in 2005, his appeal was denied. And it took until 2018. When you finally had a president that was talking about getting tough on immigration, that this guy was finally told that he has to go. And they actually made good on that. Now, first things first. In 1993, this guy would have been 70 years old. Was he needed in the United States? Was he doing a job that Americans just won't do? Was there a need for aging prison camp guards in the United States in the 90s? Next, you told him in no uncertain terms that he had to go in 2005. He would have been a sprightly young 82 years of age. And he was only here in the first place because the United States government allowed him to be here. Why did no one put this guy on a plane back in 2005 when his appeal was denied? What you're seeing here is a symptom of a much bigger problem, which is that even when a guy like this is told that he has to go, he doesn't go. He just stays and nobody does anything. How was he allowed to stay this long? It looks as though the Germans don't really have anything on him. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to him? He's going to go to Germany and be found not guilty? Is Germany that bad nowadays? Are the Germans going to send him back to Poland or Ukraine? And are those places that bad? I mean, you see the problem here, which is that even people are who are caught and told that they got to get out, they just stay. And, you know, in the future, for any of you out there who may not be in the United States, if you're thinking of coming here and you have been involved in a war and done something that Americans might not approve of, you'd really be a lot better coming up through the Mexican border. Just walk right in. They'll give you a driver's license, especially if you show up in California. They'll give you a driver's license. You'll get your voter registration card. You can fly on airplanes with a handgun. If you're here illegally, no one gives a shit. It's when you try to come here legally that they catch you. Final story, and this is from the Oregonian. The headline is, "He brought an American flag to protest fascism in Portland. Then Antifa attacked him." This is by someone named Shane Dixon Kavanaugh. Paul Welch came to the downtown protest August 4th to let his political leanings be known. With pride, he clutched his U.S. flag as he moved among the crowd of like-thinking demonstrators. Soon, a group of black-clad anti-fascist protesters, also known as Antifa, demanded he lose the flag, calling it a fascist symbol. Welch refused, and a tug-of-war ensued. It ended with Welch taking a club to the back of the head, lying on the ground in a pool of his own blood. Only Welch was not a Proud Boy, a Patriot prayer supporter, or among the other conservative activists who descended into the area that day, many from out of town. He was one of hundreds of progressive Portlanders who had turned out to oppose the right-wing rally held at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. "I didn't come as a part of any one group," Welch said in an interview with the Oregonian. "I was just protesting outsiders coming here for their tacitly fascist event." Skipping down a bit, many have assumed the tussle over a U.S. flag placed Welch squarely in the right-wing camp. Not so. "I had felt like showing that a liberal, free Portland, or any major city, really, is much more American and much more numerous and strong than any of these interloping groups," he said. A slightly progressive leftist, by his telling, Welch is a registered Democrat in Oregon, voting records show. He cast his ballot for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 presidential primary and Hillary Clinton in the general election, he said. The 38-year-old line cook is also no stranger to street protests in Portland. He said he attended the women's march held during the weekend of Donald Trump's inauguration. This summer, Welch, who works 6 days a week at a catering company, stopped by the Occupy ICE encampment on his days off to bring protesters water, toilet paper, and sunblock, he said. Now, the funny thing about this story, and the reason why it fits in with the other stories, is because, well, the conservative media is playing this as kind of a joke. Here's this left-wing Bernie guy who shows up at a protest on the side of Antifa and gets beaten up by Antifa. And yeah, that angle is kind of funny. But Ace of Spades brought this up, and this is something I was kind of thinking as well, which is that I know I've mentioned before that Antifa are the foot soldiers of the establishment. They don't know it, and they are very low foot soldiers. But you've noticed, I hope, that the Democrats are on their side. The media are on their side. A pretty good percentage of the Republican Party, especially the Washington establishment, is on their side. And in many cases, the police are on their side. So what does it mean when Antifa has decided that an American flag is an unacceptable symbol at their protest? What you have right now is a political establishment that is trying to erase American identity. And this goes all the way back to 1965, when the government decided to start importing the Third World into the United States. And in its own way, this is no different from the erasure of the identities of various European countries under the heading of the European Union. There's an idea that the national identity has to be stamped out in favor of some weird multicultural la-la land. And both sides of the mainstream political divide benefit from it. So what you're seeing is the American flag becoming a symbol of a reactionary order that they don't want anymore. And this Antifa goon squad is taking their marching orders from their superiors. See, a lot of people don't know that the politics of the country are in the middle of a realignment. It's quickly becoming a nationalist versus globalist fight. And what you're seeing right now is the globalists pulling out all the stops. And any displays of appreciation for the nation itself have to be suppressed. I don't expect the people on the left to get this for a while, and I know for just by watching it that many people on the nominal right don't get it either. But for better or for worse, this is what we're looking at, and immigration is going to be one of the biggest things that, or shall I say, the most contentious issue. Because it's eventually going to determine whether or not the nation is even allowed to exist. So remember, I mean, it's not going to be about microaggressions. It's not going to be about safe spaces. It's not going to be about the death penalty. It's not even going to be about free speech. It's going to be about whether the nation is allowed to exist or not. That's where we're headed right now. But as always, I really appreciate you listening to the show. You can still follow me on Twitter, and you can follow me on Gab. My handle is Saint Vitriol, that is at Saint Vitriol on Twitter or Gab. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Not sure what it's going to be about yet, though I really think that this Molly Tibbetts thing is not going to go away. So please stay tuned. And I will talk to you later. I'm on about side. I know these are recorded on Anchor FM, by the way. I'm also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, God, Overcast. I'm on a bunch of different things. I've put this into iHeartRadio. I'm not sure if it's up on iHeartRadio yet, but whatever your favorite podcasting platform is, go check for me to see if I'm there. If I'm not, hit me up on Twitter and let me know, and I'll see what I can do about that. All right, so thanks for listening again. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great hump day, and till then, goodbye.